We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Miss Nancy Elwood. Woo-hoo! How are you this morning?
Let's rock this train.
Let's give that devil a black eye.
Let's go.
Yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper. And I'm not even going to lie right here, y'all, and say we'll get it posted.
Come on.
I ain't even going to lie to y'all. Miss Tina will get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Because she's good like that.
There you go.
Join in today. Our sponsor today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City, Pastor Chasten Music. If you would like to be put on the blessing wheel for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. I think I covered it all. Sister, would
Man,
you?
That was it.
Yeah. It's so cool how the Holy Spirit just makes it all rise up in me every morning. I'm like, oh, you're so good, Lord.
That's it.
Would you pray to start us out, sister?
I sure will. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We ask you to take the words that you would have us to speak today and let them go clearly across the airways to who they need to get to and who needs to hear it, who needs to be helped. We bind any work of the enemy that would scramble that message and make it come out wrong or not accepted the way that you have sent it out. We pray that you would come into this room, be a guest right beside us, and guide us today in this message and in this testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning.
Okay, let's go.
Renovation, the mess in the middle. Boy, howdy.
We're going to cover some ground, get in the truck, put your seatbelt on, and we're going to lay some bricks so we can get down this road.
Let's go.
You ready?
I got my notepad, okay. My pen, my Bible.
All right, this is going to be a little bit different than any of the other pastors that are on. My disclaimer is I am not a pastor. I am just a disciple that the Lord said in, I can't take you to the address, but he said, go out, preach, and give the word. That's what I'm doing. I have no credentials. I'm just here, you know.
Amen.
We're gonna all do this. The girls are gonna help me with scriptures as I go through. The Lord downloaded this message to me. I am in the middle of a renovation, and many of you are probably in the middle of some sort of renovation in your lives right now, like not just a building renovation, but your man, your house, your spirit man, your flesh man. So restoration comes after the demo. Okay, so you got to have demo before you can get to the pretty. So we're going to go through this. Monica asked for my testimony. And I'm going to give you the testimony. I've got to backtrack you a little bit to before I was put on the earth. And that scripture, Psalms 139:13-18. Do one of you girls happen to have that handy? Okay. Let's hear it, Tina. 139:13-18.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Okay. That tells me that God knew me before he even sent me to my parents. He meant for me to be here. He meant for you to be here, Tina, you, and listeners. So I came from a home that my family, my mom and dad were split. My dad was a drug addict. He was in and out of jail. He was alcoholic. My mom, prescription drugs, alcohol. So, you know, you're thinking, oh my gosh, bam, right out the gate, I got it. Grandparents, grandfather was an alcoholic. I had Christian grandmothers. I had Christian aunts that were praying, but for them, but God. So, you know, one of my grandmas was a Sunday school teacher. So she taught my mom about Jesus. So my mom knew about him. And he was always there, but she was kind of like, you know, the Bible says the Lord's married to the backslider. And that's who she was up until her last half of her life. She got her stuff together, and she was a great grandma and mom her second half of her life. So, you know, God marked me from the womb. And Jeremiah 1:5, if one of you girls want to look it up, it says basically this: before I was formed in the womb, you knew me. And before I was born, you set me apart. So from day one, Satan has been trying to take me out. I mean, he knew God put me there. God had a purpose for me. If it was today sitting in front of y'all, I don't know. I don't know. My journey's still not over. But Satan knew there was something coming, and God put me here for a reason. So at the age of 6 years old, and here's where it gets PG, we might want to do a disclaimer. We're going to cover some sensitive subjects. So if you got little ones you don't want in the room.
What she's saying is you may want to listen to this before you allow your children to listen to this.
There you go. So at the age of 6, I had a giant come into my life, and it was molestation by a family member, and to be a trusted family member. And some family members let it go and swept it under the rug, and nothing was dealt with. So you got that on top of you, okay? Then you move on down through your age, and you know, I was diagnosed with diabetes. I was in a house fire that should have killed me, should have taken me out. You know, just 3 car accidents through my life that were traumatic, total loss, should have taken me out. Suicide attempt at the age of 16. I've had stillbirth, miscarriages. You name it. I mean, Satan's just bam, bam, bam through my whole life, just following me, you know? I mean, just marked. And you're going, my gosh, how can one person? Well, when the Lord marks you from the womb, the devil's got just as big a target on you. So you got to stay plugged in. So at the age of 16, thereabouts, I decided I was going to give my heart to the Lord. Because I had enough praying people in my life that sowed word and seed into me, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And when you do that, that doesn't mean, hey, the life's just going to get easy, and from here on out, it's going to be great. You're still going to go through some reno. And I met my husband at 17 and a half years old, 16. We were married. And we've been together for 41, 42 years. And people go, oh, that's great, you know. Yeah, it's great. It is. But it's not all, hey, marriage day. It's not. And I didn't tell him about what happened to me at 6 years old. So he has no idea. He thinks he's married, his love of his life, soulmate, he's got the wife. But I'm holding a secret that I got back here. I brought my toolbox, everybody. Everybody's got to have this in their toolbox. That's my word, okay? Now, in my toolbox, I've got to get down here. This is Nancy. There she is, okay? Well, Monica, you're going to have to hold her up, maybe. You can't hold her up the whole show. So she's got a target on her back. You know, she gets married. She's got that one thing that she's got, and it's just stuck there. Let's set her up here. Let's get her. I'm a visual person. Okay, we'll set her up there. So she's got that on her, and that's a secret. She's got it in that backpack, and she, you know, it's stuck to her. It ain't going nowhere. She's got the childhood stuff that's going on, mom, dad, you know, all that jazz. That's in her backpack, too. She's carried that right on with her into her marriage, okay? So she doesn't have communication skills because she didn't see the parents like this, like she should have, to have the communication skills to talk to her spouse and to, you know, to share and communicate. Okay, how am I doing on time? Keep me real. So the trauma that happened went way back here, it replays every time she's with that husband who thinks he's got the perfect spouse, the wife that, you know, there's no problems with her. That's his one. That's his love of his life. They're sweethearts, they're soulmates. But she didn't tell that. So that's a soul tie, even though it wasn't her problem. She didn't bring that soul tie. It was put upon her. She still got it. So that plays into every part. Her intimacy is not what it should be with her husband and her soulmate. He doesn't know what's going on. So what happens? Well, it just keeps going on and on and on. And he doesn't know what's going on. She's not telling what's going on. So, and you feel a guilt and a shame associated with that, even though you didn't cause that. You didn't do anything as a six-year-old kid to cause that. So it was undealt with 4 years. And, you know, my husband is an amazing provider. He has never laid a hand on me, ever. Now, his words, he could cut with those words. And his story to tell is not mine to tell in this testimony. But in 2018, we began a journey after, got back up, raising kids. I've got two wonderful daughters. Mm-hmm. I have five amazing grandchildren. Oh, yeah, they're in here, too. Hold on to her. Yeah. Daughters. I had to raid the kids' box, so y'all just bear with me. I got the grandkids. Let's throw them grandkids out there. That's grandkids. You know, everybody's got everybody's toolbox looks different, okay? Everybody's toolbox looks different. Yours looks different. You got different grandkids. You got different kids. You got a child at home that's your grandchild. So, you know, it all looks different. My toolbox, you know, you got to have some good friends. Husband. You got to add that husband. Oh, and later in life, I threw in some livestock. And got a dog or two. You know, everybody's toolbox looks different. But along the way, you're still picking up stuff because now the husband, he don't know what's going on. So he starts throwing out those words that hurt because he's hurt. Because he don't understand. And, you know, who thought that maybe they'd need some therapist? You know, and who would be so brave to ask someone who's a Christian to pray for you because you're sin and you're so lost yourself, you don't have it all together. Why would you go seeking someone who has what you need? So he's got anger and rage. His words are coming out and destroying. So you're moving away. He's got resentment. So here you are, this marriage that is supposed to be really good. The kids are grown. The grandchildren are coming. The kids are married. Now I'm losing identity. So, you know, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I'm in an empty nest. What am I supposed to do? My soulmate. So I decide I'm going to share. I'm going to share and I'm going to tell him. Well, he's all in. Let's get this fixed. You know, you have a problem. We need to get this fixed. So my backpack's pretty full. So we're going to go get this fixed. And lots of stuff comes out. And Les and Donna were great instruments in helping us with tools that we needed. But at that time, he wasn't ready to use the tools because he thought she's the one with the stuff in her backpack and she needs it fixed. So now all the while, I'm still living life. I'm still loving Jesus. I still got my word. I still am doing all the things, the church, doing the praise and worship, doing the this, doing the that. I'm still in there reading my Bible. Nothing's helping. Well, why is nothing helping? So, finally, some words were spoken that I knew, hey, I got to get to the bottom of this backpack. I got to figure this out. So, in comes, oh, I got something else to do. You gotta have a good therapist, a good godly counsel therapist. So we put her in here. Can you see my? Which you see it over there? So I got quite the show going on over here. So in comes the therapist, Miss Teresa Davis, and she was instrumental in helping get to the bottom of what needed to be. You may have to hold her up because she needs a lot of help. So,
she's top heavy.
So now you're getting to, you got this house built, you know. You got a lot of holes in this house.
That's what I was
going to
say.
There you go. You got a lot of holes in this house. You got a lot going on here. And, so, I still have, you know, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to talk to anybody at church. Didn't want to ask the pastor. Good night, don't ask the pastor, because what's he going to do with that? You know, and what's your friends going to do with that? Only insiders know what's really going on. And I got one or two inner circle people, but everybody else thinks Facebook is grand, and look at your life there. They didn't see all that. They didn't look at my backpack in the back. They didn't see that stuff in the backpack. So in 2019, I set out to tear down and rip out. Okay? We were going to do some major demo. And my husband was on board. And he's like, all right, we're going to do this. So by then, he's ready, you know. And we go in. And we start walking the walk. And, you know, through that walk, it started out in 2019. Well, then you got COVID, 2020, and you're shut in. And you're like, okay, I got this workbook. I've got to empty this backpack. I've got a husband that's working 80 and 100 hours a week. And when you say there aren't that many hours in a week, try being an oil field wife. Right. Exactly. Or a trucker's wife. You're in it by yourself. He's mentally and praying me, spiritually helping me, but he's not there physically to see what's going on. So the devil is over here. Hey, you know what? You get out of this whole thing. All you got to do. And he gave me instructions on how to do it. There comes that spirit of suicide because it's familiar. It's a familiar spirit that never got dealt with from the age of 16. Okay? So you got that familiar spirit hollering at you. And if any of you that are watching are in the middle of Reno, life Reno, type where you're at. Are you in demo mode? Are you in rebuild mode? Where are you at? Right now I'm in rebuild mode, but we're laying the groundwork and y'all got your seatbelts on, so we're going to keep riding this ride. Okay? Am I doing good? All right. So in 2020, we lost a whole year. And I tried to get Robert to join in. And he still wasn't there. He was supporting me, but he didn't need the help. He didn't feel like, but he was still angry and lashing out. And, you know, he would raise his voice and it would be over. You know, there was sometimes I would say, you know, if you would say, honey, why don't you just fall down the stairs and break your neck? It sounds so much better than fall down the stairs and break your neck, you know? So just add a little sweetness to it. And so we went on like that for it was 2-3 years. Then you add to that, your relationships start falling away because you're trying to focus on this. You're trying to get yourself healed. And you're trying to work through the workbook. I was working through, it's A Wounded Heart is the name of the book. If anybody wants to get that and get into that for any of their trauma that they've experienced, I highly suggest that you get with a godly counselor so that you can work through and get rid of that giant that's taking a hold. So in the midst of it, I was still doing online visits with Teresa. And she said, you know, at one point in it, you know, you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive that person and anyone that was involved in that. And I'm like, well, I didn't do nothing to get it. No. And I know you've been there too. I'm like, no, that ain't happening. I didn't do nothing. It was perpetrated on me. Yeah. No. And God's going, no, you do. And I'm like, no, this, and we're talking, this isn't an overnight thing. This is like, you know, 3 years of it. So in this 3 years, I've got, if you could see the battle that was going on in the spiritual realm, that would freak you out. So you've got God going, come on, man. And he'd send me people and say, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. He'd send it through a message that I would happen to hear. Because I still tried to stay plugged in somewhat. Kept my foot somewhat plugged in. But I didn't hang out with my good godly friends. I started doing things I wanted to. And I've probably lost y'all on the scriptures. But the word says... I don't know the address, but it says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't want to do it. And it's sin, and I know it's sin, but my flesh keeps doing it. So there I was out there doing stuff that I would have never done. I didn't take a drink 30 years I didn't touch a drink of alcohol. But in that time frame, oh yeah, that was one of the things that wasn't off limits for me. And God even sent word, that's not what I have for you. I can't speak to you through the alcohol. I need you to get over here. And not that the alcohol is going to send me to hell. I don't believe that. I believe that, as the word says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and he who partaketh is not wise. And that's where I was, man. I was unwise, just unwise. And, you know, there were days that I would have to say, all right, God, you know, I can't do this today. I can't. And it's like my daughter said, some days it's like a little flashlight. The word is a lamp unto your feet. Mm-hmm. And that flashlight was on, and that's all I could see. I got to get up. I got to go get a shower. I got to eat something. I can't go outside today. And I would retreat right back to the, shut the door, close the blinds, had the blinds down. I'm a child of the light. I love the light. I don't like blinds. But I had them all down and it was dark. I even put blackout curtains in because I wanted it so dark. And you know who that is? Well, that's the voice of the enemy telling you, get on, just go ahead. It'd be all right. Turn that light off. Because he wants you in the dark. And, I finally got to a point in the renovation where I'm ripping out, I'm tearing out, I'm doing what I need to do. And God said, you've got to forgive. And that day was a day, and these people are past. I can't go to them and face to face them. So I literally spent hours. I don't even know how long. I said, all right, God, I'll forgive them. But it's got to be you. Because this flesh don't want to. And I spent hours crying on my face, forgiving people that were dead, that had looked away, didn't help me as a child. And God said, okay, now, put that little girl on the porch and tell her goodbye. So that day was the day that I decided I was going to turn it around. Whether Robert got on board, whether Monica got in the car, who Tina got in the car, whoever got in with me, I had to put her on the porch and tell her goodbye. And I said, you know, I got you now. Go on. And I shut that door and got up. And that's when I got with you, and God tried to start sending me lifelines. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm slow, but I'm getting it. And I just, you know, I begged God for mercy. And God said, you need to be thankful now. Just be thankful. And I would try to, I didn't drink from the time I got up till the time I went to bed. But at night, I would drink like seltzers. I call those like baby beers. I don't know. You know, nothing hard. But to me, that was because it was a sin, because God had told me he didn't want me to do it. And the Holy Spirit's going, hello, hello, that's not for you, that's not for you, it's not for you. So I unpacked some of the stuff out of the backpack. I mean, those are useful things in the right setting, but, you know, no. So I still had a little bit in my backpack. Meanwhile, I've got my children over here. They're not understanding because they haven't been privy to the 3 years that's been going on. Because we kept them out of it. So they feel isolated and on their own out here. Mom and Dad are doing their own thing and they're happy. No, Mom and Dad weren't happy. Mom and Dad were trying to fix Mom and Dad. And so I came to Robert and I said, you know what? Here's the deal. We got, and this is where we're going to start laying foundation, and we're going to start, we're going to go, in a restoration, the gutting and the demo, you get rid of everything that needs to go. You got to get rid of everything that needs to go. Am I good?
Would now be a good time to take prayer requests?
We can. We sure can.
Okay.